Ministry of Higher Education, Syrian Virtual University, School of Law. The subject's title is International Trade Law by Dr. Imad al-Din Muhammad. The following recording is presented by Light Initiative, Mubadarat Wudaw, and recorded by Karam Jamil Dannan. The following recording will cover the pages from 32 to 40. Please keep in mind that the following recording will cover the first part of chapter number 3, which is called The Vienna Convention on the International Sale of Goods, 1980, Part 2. Chapter number 3, The Vienna Convention on the International Sale of Goods, 1980, Part 2. The Recording, number 1. Main paragraph number 1. Obligations of the buyer. The buyer is obliged to take delivery of the goods. Article number 53. Article number 60 obliges the buyer to do all acts that could reasonably be expected of him to enable the seller to make delivery and in taking over the goods. He is also placed under a duty to examine the goods once the goods have been delivered and give timely notice in the event of non-conformity of goods. The goods may be examined by his employees or through others appointed by him for that task. It could also be a third party, such as the second buyer who has bought the goods during transit from the first buyer. Most international sales involve the carriage of goods. It may not be practicable to inspect the goods at the point of departure or where the goods are sold during transit. Where the contract involves carriage of goods, those goods can be examined when they have arrived at the destination. Article number 38.2. Where the goods are redirected or redispatched by the buyer without a reasonable opportunity to examine them, and where the seller knows or should have known of the possibility that goods are likely to be redispatched or redirected at the conclusion of the contract, the goods can be examined after they have arrived at the new destination. The seller is likely to know of such a possibility when the buyer requests the seller to give him a transferable bill of lading. The extension allowed for the purposes of examination of goods places the seller in a difficult situation, but the buyer has to establish that the seller knew or should have known of the redirection at the time of conclusion of the contract. Article number 38.3. Article number 38.3 could be considered as being incomplete because it does not address resale by the buyer. The method of examination is to be determined on the basis of what is acceptable in international usage. Past practices between the parties may also be a relevant factor. Both parties can specify the level and kind of examination in their agreement. If the buyer has discovered or should have discovered a lack of conformity, then he has an obligation to notify the seller of the defect within a reasonable period of time. Article number 39.1. If he fails to do so, he loses the right to rely on lack of conformity. The buyer loses the right to rely on a lack of conformity if he does not give the seller notice of non-conformity within 2 years from the date on which the goods were handed over. Article number 39.2. Reasonable time can be flexible according to surrounding circumstances, and what is considered reasonable time for a piece of machinery will not be considered reasonable time for an item of food or any other perishable item. Although Article number 39 states the right to claim nonconformity is lost if the notice requirements are not met. This rule can be changed by Article number 44, which states that despite the provisions in paragraph number 1 of Article number 39 and paragraph number 1 of Article number 43, the buyer may reduce the price or claim damages, except for loss of profit, if he has reasonable excuse for his failure to give the required notice. Article number 50. The seller's right to rely on late notice as a defense is lost, where the lack of conformity relates to facts that the seller knew or could not have been unaware of and that he did not disclose to the buyer. Article number 40. The buyer is also obliged to pay the price for the goods on the date fixed and take the formalities required to effect payment. If the sale agreement requires the opening of a letter of credit, then the buyer must take the necessary steps. In the absence of agreement, the place of payment is the seller's place of business. Article number 57. If payment is against handing over of goods or documents, then it should be at the place where the goods or documents are handed over. Main paragraph number 2. Passing of risk. Passing of risk is an important event in the sale of goods. Once the buyer acquires risk, he becomes liable for the price, even if the goods are lost or damaged. Article number 66 states that loss of or damage to the goods after the risk has passed to the buyer does not discharge him from his obligation to pay the price, unless the loss or damage is due to an act or omission of the seller. Most contracts will contain terms stating when risk is to pass, or the use of trade terms will also determine the passing of risk. If the contract does not have them, then the Vienna Convention's rules regarding passing of risk can be relied upon where a risk is connected to a particular situation, such as if the sale of contract involves carriage or not. Most international sales contracts involve transportation of goods, road, air, or a combination of different modes. Where transportation is involved, risk will pass when the goods are handed over to the first carrier. Article number 67. If the contracting parties have agreed to hand the goods over to the transporter at a particular place, then risk will pass once the goods are handed to the carrier at the agreed place. The carrier has to be an independent carrier for these purposes, where the seller uses his own transportation. Article number 69, rather than Article number 67, is relevant. Use of trade terms, however, would result in rules relating to passing of risk embedded in trade terms to supersede those of the Vienna Convention because of Article number 9. However, courts may not always follow this view. Also, the retention of documents by the seller does not affect the passing of risk under Article number 67. Although the goods need to be clearly identified to the contract by markings, shipping documents, and notice, or otherwise to enable risk to pass, Article number 67.2. It is common practice in international sales to sell goods while they are in transit. Article number 68 addresses the issue of passing of risk of goods sold during transit. Risk will normally pass when the contract is concluded. In some circumstances, it is possible for it to pass before the conclusion of the contract, at the time when the goods were handed over to the carrier. The circumstances most likely for this are those that involve insurance documents. The seller is subject to the principle of good faith, Article number 68, if the seller, at the conclusion of contract of sale, knew or should have known that the goods had been lost or damaged and did not disclose this to the buyer. the loss or damage is at the risk of the seller. The retroactive passing of risk is to the benefit of the buyer, since it may not always be possible to know when the damage took place. The buyer in these circumstances can claim the benefit of the insurance, instead of facing the uncertainties caused by splitting the risk during transit. Where goods are to be sold on CIF terms during transit, it is normal for the seller to obtain floating policies or open cover. Situations that do not fall within Articles number 67 or number 68 are covered by Article number 69. According to Article number 69, risk passes when goods are taken over by the buyer, where the goods are to be delivered at a particular place other than the seller's place of business, such as a warehouse of a third party. Risk will pass when delivery is due and the buyer is aware that the goods are placed at his disposal. The seller will need to notify the buyer. Main paragraph number 3. Remedies. If there's a breach either by the seller or the buyer, the Vienna Convention makes available a number of remedies, although most of the available remedies are common to the seller and the buyer, specific attention will be drawn when they are not. This was the end of recording number 1 for chapter number 3, which is called The Vienna Convention on the International Sale of Goods, 1980, Part 2. Thank you for listening, and we wish you a good day.